Welcome to The Ether. Today is Monday, February 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the Lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, we have the monthly AMA with the Cash team. Let's take a listen.
There's going to be zero fees, so we just have to find the right balance from customers. My guess is at this point that both Emerald and Diamond members will not have fees, but we may expand that to Gold members in order to be more competitive. So we just have to see how the space evolves, and you know, we have the flexibility. We're starting with fees, but at the lower tiers, but we can reduce those if we want to be more competitive. Based debit cards, okay, it is still very attractive. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we're very transparent on our fees. There's several lines of revenue on the business model, with the largest expected revenue line being the savings accounts, because, you know, we're offering anywhere from 10% to the full anchor rate, which is about 9.5% right now. So, you know, we're expecting the average customer to have, 12 to 14% to be in that sort of Gold to Emerald range, which means that the company's making, more than 5% on assets under management. So that's the bulk. I would say that, you know, probably more than 50% of our revenues. And if you're talking about competitors, like Outlet Finance, about Alice and others, that are providing the full anchor rate. We're targeting. You've got different personas for different markets, and we're targeting. That's why we're really focused on sort of the banking market, the neo banking market. Customers who are looking at their traditional accounts and saying, "Hey, I'm getting less than 1% on here. 10% is a lot better than 1%." That also gives us, as a company, good margins on the account. So, you know, I think, you know, the market is very big. These are a lot of new players that are coming to market. If you look at the crypto markets, you know, 6-7 years ago, with some of the first companies like Coinbase, Binance, you're gonna always have competitors in the space, and each one finds its niche market. And you know, we have to think about not just about being competitive, but also making money as a company. So part of our strategy is.
Hello.
Please.
Hello. On the Discord group. Hey, everyone. It looks like John disconnected. Let me ping him on Slack real quickly.
Sorry. I'm calling from the road today. So I'm out of the office. And it was just disconnected.
All right.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah. We can hear you now, John. Sorry for everyone on Twitter Spaces for having the complications so far.
We'll
try to do better next month, everyone.
You know, you've got markets. Most of the competitors, in the space. And when you're talking, when I talk competitors in this case, competitors that are building on top of Anchor or other DeFi high yield protocols. Most of them are focused on the U.S. market, you know, given that most stable coins are dollar denominated, U.S. being the biggest market for these types of products. There's a lot less competition in the European market and even less in, you know, when you branch out to emerging markets. So we look at this from two perspectives. One is the easiest path to market with the infrastructure that exists in Europe and the U.S., and then the higher barriers to entry in emerging markets provide, you know, greater opportunities in the sense that you know, there's less competition. It's harder to build.
Looks like John disconnected again. Sorry about that, everyone. All right, let's see if we get it back. But yeah, in general, what I do want to comment on something when it comes to the fees. We get monthly fees on the debit cards for the plastic, like the physical ones. So we pass that on until we're profitable enough where we don't need to and we can just eat the fee ourselves. So we're not just charging a fee on the lowest level of the debit card just for the sake of getting extra money. We are literally charged that and we charge the same amount until you're like a gold status or like an emerald or diamond status member. Yeah. John, do we have you back? Okay. Well, while we're waiting for John to come back, I generally give, this is Cashron, I generally give a lot of information on Cash and latest timelines and updates on the Discord channel. So feel free to join the Discord channel. Also, for all of you on Twitter Spaces, you get Cash credits, which is our token system, just for sending messages and like giving emoji reactions to people on our Discord server. I think that's pretty cool. So please take a look at our Discord server. We'll tweet out the link to our Discord server right after this call. It's a great community. We have a point system. You can constantly see the points you're getting from all your messages, and you get tokens for your messages. So that's pretty exciting. Yes, Bish77, you are getting cash credits right now. I believe you get one cash credit for every 10 points. Hey, John, are you back?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I guess I was talking to myself.
All right. We got you back, John. All right. So the last
I'm on the road, so
I'm
disconnected.
All right. The last 3 minutes, you can just repeat. Yeah.
Okay, so where did I, it may have been more than 3 minutes. When did I stop? But when did you stop hearing me?
I don't remember. Sorry.
Okay, well, I think, you know, generally what I was talking about, the competitive landscape and our rollout in Europe, North America, and emerging markets. There was questions around our competitors and you know, why aren't we being more competitive with our pricing model? So two reasons on our pricing model. We're being flexible on our pricing model where, you know, some users, depending on their tier of credits, will have to pay for cards on a monthly basis, and then the higher tiers will be free. That gives us some flexibility.
FYI for everyone on Twitter Spaces, Cash is coming to the U.S., end of February, early March. We actually just did a demo to Prime Trust last week on it, and the demo went very smoothly. So we're doing a few tweaks. We're doing another demo tomorrow, and I'm pretty excited. We're still on track at this point. I'm gonna let John speak again.
On average, paying customers, you know, 12-14% for the lower tiers. You know, we're making the spread on assets under management up to the full Anchor rate. So it's you know, obviously you're going to have some customers that are going to say, well, I'm just going to go to the platform that has the highest rates. And of course, people could go straight to Anchor if they want to do that. But it's not about getting the highest rates for, I think, most customers. It's about,
yeah,
the level of trust, the level of security, the level of customer support, and, you know, all of which we're addressing.
And like I just want to interject real quickly, John. For normies, there is not much of big of a difference between 10% and 20%. Both of it sounds unbelievable, right? So our approach, and there's like 20 companies, whether it's Celsius or BlockFi or You know, these Terra-specific ones like Alice or Outlet Finance that offer. There's, I even talked to one in Europe that's offering like 150% APY using leverage, right? What the difference is can you trust cash that we will not lose all your money? And there's a lot of things that go into that. Like one, if our company goes bankrupt, you still have access to your funds because it's decentralized, it's not centralized. Number two, we are always going to be cash flow positive in our operations, or we'll strive to be. That is why we are not giving the full anchor rate to everyone, is because we want to have sustainable operations versus other companies which are burning VC money. And you don't know how long that will last before they drastically change things. They subsidize all the Terra transaction fees. They subsidize the blockchain transaction fees. Like, we want to be sustainably, enduringly profitable to ensure that we're around for a long time. And three, our cash credits, our reward loyalty system with gold, emerald, and diamond is the variable rewards. And that will be variable based on the anchor rate to ensure that we can adjust based on whatever the anchor rate is, that we can adjust so we are profitable. Fourth, we are doing cool things with a referral system. It's like you get a percentage of the of the profit generated from someone's account based on your referrals. So we are doing creative applications with our yield that our competitors are not doing. Fifth is that we are going and we are being a thought leader, a knowledge leader in the space, which is why if you have not seen, we are doing weekly on-chain analytics videos on YouTube. I highly suggest you take out our watch our on-chain analytics videos, because we look at the Terra ecosystem, we look at the anchor reserve rates, we look at the demand and supply status of Luna and everything. We do all of this research in detail to say, hey, this company is ran from a CEO in John with a Georgetown graduate background and a former banking VP and U.S. State Department, Ronald Ward, an MBA, former Y Combinator startup founder and former VC. And we have a whole host of advisors into our company with very strong DeFi and traditional hedge fund backgrounds. So there is a lot of brain power at Cash to not just give out the highest APY to everyone, but to build a sustainable company in the 10-year time period. And six, we're a publicly traded company, everyone. You can audit our financials. You can look at our how we're spending money every month. We are very transparent, because by definition, we have to be, because we're a publicly traded company. Our stock symbol is KSHF. It can be purchased in the US, Canada, or Europe. Sorry, John, I just had to throw that out there. I'll leave it to you for the next question.
Sure. No, thank you. Thanks, Ronald. Yeah, so I think on that note, there were some questions around the numbers of funded accounts versus non-funded accounts. You know, how many users have does Cash have with funded over $1,000? So I want to address this in two ways. Number one, we are going to release those in our quarterly financials. I can't release that on this call, since that would be material information. And two, you know, I think the numbers, once we have integrated with banking partners in Europe and North America, will change dramatically, because of the fact that, you know, we've seen customers coming in and tell us, you know, that they like our platform. They like what we're doing. They, you know, they want to use it, but, you know, there are limits right now of, you know, $500 that they can put in and 10% transaction fees. And, you know, people want to be able to move funds in. We're also, as Ronald said, you know, we're building additional features. So, you know, integrating with, you know, with payroll. So you can have your salary directly deposited into Cash. You know, creative ways and other creative ways to bring, you know, to grow assets under management. So, you know, I think those numbers become more meaningful as we go forward and finish those integrations.
And for
And
for some context, like, our funded numbers are not going to be high, because if you go and try to fiat on ramp with Cash right now via Transact, you'll see that if you especially deposit based on your country, if you deposit smaller amounts, if you deposit like $100, like the Transact fee might be like $30 or like whatever. That's like a 30% like fee. So that's why we're trying really hard for our on-ramps. So when our on-ramps come live, whether that's in the US in end of February, early March, or whether that's in Europe coming soon, I think that is when you'll see the funded account numbers drastically go up. And keep in mind, it's not immediate. There needs to be a buildup and kind of a word of mouth and the referral program that will kick into place. So it's progressive step by step over there. So, yes. All right. Sorry, John, back to you.
Sure. So there were also questions around stock price.
If you're on Twitter Spaces or Discord, especially on Twitter Spaces, raise your hand. We'll get to you and we'll unmute you and you can ask your question directly. So just raise your hand if you want to ask a question. All right. Sorry, John, going back to you.
Yeah. So there were questions around stock price, trading volumes, concerns over that, saying we need some marketing, investor relations marketing, to get more awareness of the company from a investor perspective. The volumes, I actually just got the report today. Last month's total market volume was 4.8 million. That's for January. December was about 4.6 million. For a micro cap company, you know, the volumes are not that high. We do have, as everyone knows, we do have a market maker, ITG, that helps with the liquidity in the market. So I think we continue to work on our investor relations strategy in parallel to our product and marketing strategy. I think with time you're going to see improvements on that front. But I can't talk about specific initiatives until we announce those.
John, are we allowed to publicly, like, were you going to share your screen with the ITG stuff? The numbers or no?
I'm actually on my phone. I've just sort of I have to double check if we're allowed to publicly share those.
Okay.
I just read the top line numbers.
Sorry, everyone. We're publicly traded companies, so there's a lot of regulation on what we're allowed or not allowed to share. All right. Sorry. Okay.
But I can say from the numbers is that they are handling a percentage of those trades, which provides liquidity for investors. I think it provides some more stability in the volatility. Although at these levels, obviously still very volatile.
Cash is a $40 million, $50 million market cap company, which means like it's small. So there's expected to be volatility when it comes to that. We focus on the fundamentals. So with the fundamentals, growth will come eventually. Our market cap is really small right now. We're not a Tesla. 40 million market cap is us. And, just keep those things in mind. And where we're going, we're going through it. Small market cap stuff. All right. Sorry, John. Back to you.
Okay, so the next question is there an example of how the platform will look like once Prime Trust is integrated? Will it be possible to send money like Venmo or a Cash App? I think everybody who's in the blockchain space, is solving that. Blockchain is solving that problem of payments. It's solving the problem of remittance. We plan to be a Venmo app for stablecoins integrated into on and off ramps. So basically the way it will look like from a Prime Trust perspective is once we've integrated, you'll essentially have, when you log into your account, you will be, you click on the deposit button. From there, you'll be able to select your Cash ACH account. When you click on that button, you have to go through a KYC. It's a relatively simple, for US market and Canada to follow. Essentially uploading a copy of your passport or driver's license. It takes a matter of minutes to get approved or declined, or if there's any issues in the KYC process, then the customer is notified of those issues and they can correct those issues. So if everything is smooth sailing from KYC perspective, You're onboarded. You have then a fiat US dollar bank account, just like you do at any other bank. And you can make a deposit. You can connect to, so there's two ways to make a deposit. You can either go to your online bank, you go to like Bank of America and sign in, and you have your ABA number and your account number at cash, and you can do a wire transfer into your account. You can also connect your bank account directly to cash, and this is pretty cool. This is with another partnership that we have that essentially lets you log in to your Bank of America account or more than 11,000 banks in the United States and enter your username and password. Then your Bank of America account is connected to your cash account, and you can make whatever deposits you want to make into your account. So you basically select, you know, the currency you want to deposit. So either your deposit dollars, and then you can exchange those for UST, or you can do an automatic purchase of UST one-to-one with the dollar. So you don't have to worry about, you know, any variations, minor variations from the peg. So that's, once you have your UST, then that's directly into your cash wallet. So as you can sort of get a sense from my description, it's a really seamless process. And then once you've connected your bank account, you can do automatic payments. That will be a feature that will be coming in a secondary phase. And you can, you know, there's we will have limits initially, just to protect and reduce fraud risk, which is, you know, which does, yeah, does occur in the banking system. And there are some hold periods. So if you're doing a wire from Bank of America, for example, it settles, you know, within 24 to 48 hours. There's no fraud risk on that. But when it's connecting the bank, we there is a 10-day hold that's required, which just means you have to wait, you know, for the funds to clear to enter your account. And once you have the funds in your cash account, you can do what you want with it. Virtual cards to follow, as I described earlier. So you know, you can spend with your you can spend US dollars with your virtual card, and then physical cards to follow right after that.
Yeah.
So it's pretty seamless experience.
And when it comes to that, I received the question of, are the funds in cash FDIC insured? The account that is the Prime Trust account, which is the checking account, that is not earning the anchor interest, but that is the account that you use for your card activity. I have been told in email that, you know, it goes through Prime Trust's banking partners, which are FDIC insured. So by technicality, your funds in cash are FDIC insured. Now, how we're allowed to overtly market that is a question of sensitivity. So we are still working with Prime Trust on communication of what FDIC insurance looks like for cash. But because the US dollars that you spend on your debit card are actually US dollars and are actually held in a bank, by technicality, yes. It's just about how do we overtly word that. So still working on it. Yeah, and then I believe, John, the wires are in phase two, right? For what you can on-ramp onto cash. And keep in mind, everyone, I like to make the analogy, it's like Pokemon Go. When Pokemon Go was first released, it was very minimal. And then as the years went on, it got more robust. And cash will become more robust. Our focus right now is just on-ramping as soon as possible, which... looks like it's US is still on track. We just did a demo to Prime Trust on Friday. It worked really well. In fact, we pointed out flaws in Prime Trust that they're fixing right now. So I joked with our lead engineer that Prime Trust is going to try to poach our engineers after that demo call. We have another one tomorrow, and we're on track. I feel very good about end of February optimistically, and early March realistically about launch. But yeah, hopefully that makes sense for everyone. Sorry.
Hi, would I be able to ask my question?
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, you got a question on Twitter Spaces.
Okay. So just too many questions. Sorry. I just attended the meeting. I just finished work. Yeah. My two questions surface around why are we kind of seeing a lag between the fundamentals and the exponential growth of the cash and the stock price? And number two, let's say cash in years, 1 year, 2 or 3 years, reached 500, 600K, 700K, would maybe, and let's say Robinhood came in to buy the company, would you be thinking about that? These are kind of my questions.
John, did you hear those questions?
Yeah, I did. So I guess the first question, the investors we get whatever information that's public, whatever we release publicly. So there's sort of two channels, right? You've got the internal channel of what we know is going on, and then there's the external channel of what the public knows is going on. So I think there's always going to be some disconnect, as in any public company, between, where the company is and, before releasing earnings announcements, for example, a lot of analysts estimating what those are going to be. And then obviously that impacts whatever the results are is going to impact. So even in big companies like Apple or Facebook, to give a better example, you're going to have those disparities between what's going on and what's perceived to be going on. And I think obviously in a micro cap company like ours, that disparity is even greater. That being said, and that's probably because of risks associated with companies at an earlier stage, and opportunities that are also available, and the upside. So both risks and upside of a company in our stage of growth. The second question was around acquisition. We're always open to exploring any possible acquisitions, any possible mergers, any types of capital events that are beneficial for the company and for the shareholders. But we also want to make sure we're maximizing returns and value for shareholders. So just as I think. Some major companies like Facebook, had opportunities to cash out at $1 billion and sell to Yahoo. They decided not to take that opportunity and went on to become, one of the world's largest market cap companies. So every company has that journey, and we'll explore those opportunities when they come up.
I mean, we just to emphasize, we're literally like $40-50 million market cap company, so we're not a whale by any means. Can't talk about future looking stock price, but just that's some good context. VLTR, you have a question you want to ask?
Yeah. Hey guys, can you hear me?
So
first of all, I just want to say I really appreciate everything you guys are doing. When I talk to people that are on the fence about crypto, it's the whole how do you actually spend it, that whole thing. So closing that loop is going to onboard a lot more people. So I'm really appreciative of that. I've got two quick questions that I've been wanting to ask you guys for a long time. So first of all, are you on track for Q1 for debit cards for Europe, particularly UK? And number two, would you guys be able to give me a little bit more info around the privacy and security? So I looked at your FAQ and it says that you guys don't store personal information tied to a user's ID to an account. But you have to go through KYC check to get a debit card, which I understand. So do you not actually store that information beyond just accepting it? Could you just give me a bit more information around that?
John, you heard that?
Sure. So on the debit cards, yes, we're on track. Q1, and by end of March, being the end of Q1, we will have debit cards in Europe and including the UK. Those will be virtual cards, as I mentioned earlier. Followed by physical cards, once manufacturing is complete. And then on the second question, Ronald, I was hard to hear the second part of the question.
You just want to know, with KYC, how does that work storing data? How much do we store?
Okay. Yeah, so KYC is handled by our banking and our fintech partners. And so we do not hold any of that data. So when a customer is doing KYC, that data is interfacing directly with our customers via either API or iframe. iframe being basically a white label version of the banking partner's KYC process. So they do all the KYC on their side. They're the ones managing that whole process and storing the data. So we don't store any of that KYC data, which is good, you know, for as a company wanting to maintain our decentralized status. But at the same time, you know, it can be a little bit of a challenge for customers because if they're if they need to go back and change something, they have to go through that process. If they get rejected and the account gets closed, we don't have that information. They have to do KYC again, but I think that's going to be a minor percentage of customers.
Just one quick one as well. Thank you for answering that. I also just want to ask, so if the HMRC or the UK government want to reach out to Cash and say, hey, I want to know what this individual's spending their money on and how much is in their account, et cetera. Can they get that information from you?
Yeah. So there's basically, you've got the fiat world, right? And you've got the blockchain world. So on the fiat side, I guess you're referring mostly to cards. So those cards are actually issued by our banking partners. And those banking partners are regulated either in the UK or in Europe. And, you know, if the UK government wanted to understand what was going on with that, they would be going to our banking partners and the banking partners would have to follow whatever compliance or regulatory requirements they were required to do in terms of those things. So that part of it still lives in the current traditional world, financial world of today. On the blockchain side, that becomes a little bit more difficult from one perspective, but on the other perspective, you know, everything on the blockchain is traceable. So, you know, governments can build systems or use companies. I think there are a number of companies like CipherTrace and Chain Analysis that do a lot of analytics on the blockchain that I think governments can use to understand and analyze customer behavior.
So basically, for all the crypto degenerates out there, the analogy I like to make is KuCoin. If you're in the US, you can't use KuCoin for KYC and depositing funds in. But if you want to send money and transfer it in, then we don't require KYC. For Cash, KYC is not there if you don't need the card. If you need the card, then there's KYC because that's just kind of government regulations. What I want to add is Cash is for on-ramp and off-ramp. When people think of off-ramp, they think of debit and credit cards. And while that is true, that is not in isolation how Cash can off-ramp. There are many ways to off-ramp, and that's just something for you guys to think about, how Cash can off-ramp beyond credit and debit cards in the future. Hopefully that makes sense. And some of the off-ramp methods have KYC and some do not have KYC. Shout out to the whales in the world who we're talking with, who've given some great inspiration and thoughts on this topic. So thank you for your question. All right. I think those are the Twitter Spaces questions. John, do you want to keep continuing from the Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah, sure. So there was a question in German. I'm not going to embarrass myself with my limited knowledge of German, but I did use Google Translate. So I guess there was some question around our messaging coming from the company and messaging coming perhaps from some of the Discord channels and so on, why the messaging doesn't line up. I'm not sure specifically what messaging is being referred to. It may not be that the messaging is not lining up. It may be a question of some of the goal posts have been moved as we know in terms of launch dates of ACH and IBAN accounts, primarily due to third party integrations. Ronald, I don't know if there's
John. So one, I think people are referring to the website, and then they have that little like spot of the global map of like quarter one for a card on this geography and quarter two of this card in this geography in January and switching into a quarter. So we're a startup, and it's rare for a startup to be a publicly traded company. That's why we're, again, a $40 million market cap company. It's weird, I know. So forgive us. if some things on the website are not currently updated to what we say on Discord. And keep in mind, when you talk to customer support, like, their information sometimes is not as updated as what we have, like what the knowledge John or I have at any given point. And sometimes our knowledge changes from week to week, right? So, you know, like John talked about it last month a little bit, we have two on-ramp partners for Europe. They have different timelines of when they go live. And like one on-ramp partner, for example, is used to integrating iOS and Android app, but they literally have to build web app integration just for our use case because Cache is a web app. So that has caused what was seen as a small couple week delay, and now it's going on a 4 month delay. So we are playing it by ear on when that will be ready. And the second on-ramp partner, we started that process in December, and we're going through compliance for them right now. So that is kind of a little more long-ranging. So it depends. Like, we hear different things from our on-ramp partners sometimes multiple times a week. And when you ask a question, it depends on our most recently updated information. And we can just give a general conservative timeline of quarter two or hell 2023, right? Or we can actually tell you what we know real time. But the more level of detail we give on what we know, the more that can shift based on updates internally in the company. So we're not trying to be deceptive. We literally just learn stuff on a given week based on an internal demo, on a technical integration, on a compliance component, and it shifts what we think on a given day. So I don't know if you guys want to let us know, do we only communicate a quarter and not tell you why we have a delay or tell you where we are in the process? Or do you want that transparent level of detail, but you have to be okay getting whiplashed once every while once we get whiplashed internally? So hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, that being said, we were doing our best to understand, you know, the process for these integrations, the approvals, the technical challenges, and so on, so that we can be as accurate as possible. We will make sure that our website, if it doesn't reflect the current planning, that it's updated for that planning. But so as of now, the plan is both US and Europe, including the UK, by the end of March, hopefully sooner. The next question is it's also German, and I think it's basically the same question, right, Ronald?
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one is very interesting. If ACH was released on Friday and the Super Bowl was advertised on Sunday, the course would go through the roof next Monday. But I say if. So I think someone's maybe being a bit facetious, but
yeah. A Super Bowl ad costs like $4 million, like $6 million. Okay.
So we're not gonna. I can state clearly, we're not doing any Super Bowl ads. I don't know if people remember the old days when E-Trade first launched. They were, you know, early stage fintech, stock trading firm, and they had their Super Bowl ad with the monkey doing a dance, and they said, you know, we just spent $2 million on this advertisement. How do you spend your money? So it probably was a good use of their funds, but we're not planning anything like that for the Super Bowl specifically, because we definitely won't be ready before the Super Bowl. Go ahead, Ronald.
I just interject and say, for all of you on Twitter Spaces, you can join our Discord channel and ask questions. We literally answer the questions you ask, including ridiculous ones like the Super Bowl one right now. We literally just go through one by one. All right, sorry, go on, John.
Okay, well, the next one is Wen Moon. This is better than the previous the question from the last AMAs when they asked me when Lamborghini.
Was that really a question?
Yeah, Wen Moon. So I think it's probably related to our cash credit NFTs, which the cash credit program has got two parts to it. The core part is the credits, which are tokens on the blockchain, which, you know, give customers their various tiers and perks and benefits as they become more active on the system. And then when they reach certain tiers, there will be NFTs, and that's where we're launching sort of a phase two And there's some creative things going on the design side to make it, you know, very, very interesting for customers and great from a marketing perspective. Other than that, I can't comment on when Moon. And that was actually the last question that was sent in this week.
I got a question from CEO.ca. When e-transfer for Canada?
Yeah, so that's, you know, I've had a number of conversations. We have partners in Canada that are helping us to solve that issue. So phase one with Prime Trust is as soon as we get the final legal approval, Prime Trust will open for Canada, meaning Canadians will be able to transfer funds to their cash accounts, Canadian dollars supported, US dollars supported. But obviously there's a wire transfer fee from Canada to the US. So that's sort of like phase one. So at least customers can get into and get their money into cash. Phase two is as you asked, e-transfers. The Canadian market is more challenging, which is why we're leveraging Prime Trust for Canada. You know, that's something obviously we want to solve for. But I actually don't have any other details I can share at this time on e-transfers. But you know, we are originally a Canadian company, so you know, Canada is an important market for us, and that's something we do want to solve. So we're working on it.
Yeah. I think that's all the questions. Does anyone else on Twitter Spaces have any questions if they want to raise their hand and ask? I'll give a moment for that and say, it's not about being the first by 1 or 2 months. When it comes to caches for your mother and caches for your neighbor, it's really about building trust. And whether that's us creating research reports, being a thought leader and knowledge leader in the space, being visible in the community, having our employees KYC'd, which we're going to be doing profile videos on various employees that work at Cache this month. So you'll get to see all the various people who work at the company. The fact that we're a publicly traded company, anyone can buy our stock and see our financials. These are the trust building elements and the long-term foundations rather than just trying to be the first one out with 150% APY, right? We want to build a foundation for a company that's here for 10 plus years. And we're excited about that process. So I don't see any more questions from Twitter Spaces. I don't see any more questions from Discord.
Can I ask a question?
Yes. If you want like to unmute, feel free to ask a question.
Yeah. So in your financial report, they're written rents. So, but they're only paid $300 rents for a quarter of a year. How are your office company rooms paid?
Office company rooms. Yeah. So I'm just checking 1 second. Okay. Yeah. So I'm not sure exactly what those rents are. So what we did is when COVID hit 2 years ago, the entire team went virtual, and we shut down our offices in order to reduce costs. There's no point in paying for office space for that purpose. All the employees are working remotely at this stage, and sort of we're waiting. We're exploring setting up new office space in Germany for the European market, since Germany is one of our top markets, and reinitiating office spaces in other parts. So California, Ronald's in California with team there, and we are exploring expanding our office space there. So we're really in that transition period between sort of COVID and, you know, core COVID world, post COVID world, and you'll see those expenses increase. I think over the next 6 to 12 months.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I'm in Menlo Park, and I can take a photo of me in the Menlo Park office for put on the Discord group. It's we have offices. Finally, just very, very happy and optimistic about OnRamp in the US, especially. Wildly optimistic about that. I'm happy about that. Does someone else have a question? Does someone else unmute? Sorry, you kind of have like an echo. Can't really hear you well. All right. So I think that's good. We went an hour. Everyone on Twitter Spaces, please join our Discord group. And thank you, John, for joining in this month. Hopefully when we do this call next month, maybe US will be live by then. We'll see.
Thanks, everybody, for joining. Really appreciate it. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye.
Have a great day.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was the monthly AMA with the Cash Team, recorded on Monday, February 7th, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For terraspaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Waking up like a basement dweller. Stepped out the door and her brace is yelling. 2020, what an ugly shit show. Staring at the fucking Rickroll from the get-go. Looking outside, the whole state's on fire. The fuck do you expect when you embrace the liars? Can replace the writers with AI just like us. Emaciated models killing bright birds. First in, last out, picture me rolling. The worst time to cash out, so what you holding? The Merc's gonna cash cow, country stolen. Drooling over chicken like the goose is golden. Trying to be so full, spitting that molten lava from the bottom of the caldera. I'm hot and gonna put it in a bottle and offer it to the god who hit the gas full throttle, blasting off in a rocket.
The many people who will see things happen to them that are in their favor. So someone's looking over me. That's a fascinating phenomenon when that happens. And when you analyze those situations, what you find is that we as humans simply have a profound inability to understand statistics and probability.
Stitching these writings, living that life like, who would have guessed you turn out this nice, right? Avoiding stress, that's the motherfucking secret. Print that shit on a motherfucking leaflet. I'm just an asshole hooked on the bricks. Looking at the rectangles, damn, they kinda thick. We've gone through a whole lot of kings here. Cutting off heads just to bring cheer. Getting all fired up, Tiger King, line them up. When you'd give an arm and a leg just to try the junk. On some first time buyer's luck. Alexa, set a reminder and remind me to buy a bunch. And put your hands up if you fuck this year. And keep them in the air if you're picking up the spare. And put your mask on just to go outside. Looking at the planet about to downsize.
So climate change will not make Earth city, where in our harbor we have the Statue of Liberty. If you melt the water ice that's on land, the ocean level will rise to reach her left elbow. That takes out all of New York City. And basically every other coastal city that we've spent thousands of years building since the dawn of civilization.
Terra Spaces.